Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It is the breakfast huddle. Time now for the bigger picture.
Yes. You know, Lawrence Wong has said a few times that this is like running a marathon. Mm. I feel like we're running a marathon, particularly where markets are concerned. Stocks climbing to more than 10-week highs as investors focus on signs that the American economy will continue to reopen, but it's been very volatile.
Oh, you know what? At the same time, you've got the Fed's April meeting minutes, and it showed concern not just about the current state of the economy, but also what lies ahead. It also indicated, you know, that more action is likely to be taken, although they did not specify when.
And the big one on the agenda is tomorrow. China is set to reveal how much they're planning to spend on stimulus to support their economy at the annual NPC meeting. It was delayed, remember, by 2 months due to the COVID-19 outbreak.
You know, I'm wondering if China will set a numerical GDP growth target. That's something that everyone's paying attention to. Let's find out and get the thoughts of Shane Oliver, Chief Economist and Head of Investment Strategy at AMP Capital. Shane, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Happy you are too.
Yes, we are. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning. I suppose let's start off with everything that's happened overnight. We saw shares go up. What's driving the continuing rally in shares?
It may be taking some people by surprise. And it's often said that share markets climb a wall of worry, and that's what they've been doing now for almost 2 months from the low point in around 23rd of March. But there's a whole bunch of things. I think there's clear evidence that the virus is coming under control. We're seeing less cases on a daily basis in many countries. I know it's still a big problem in many emerging countries, such as Brazil and Mexico and even India. But in other parts of the world, particularly developed countries, it does seem to have come under some control. We're seeing early signs of success in terms of drugs, most recently regarding a vaccine. We're seeing economies reopen. We're seeing massive stimulus measures by governments continuing. We're seeing green shoots of a potential recovery and growth. And this is all occurring at a time when investors are skeptical. And usually when investors are skeptical, that's when markets start to go higher, because there's a lot of people who are sitting on the sidelines who might be forced to buy in. So that's what's driving them higher. It doesn't mean the markets are going to go up in a straight line from here. And we did go through a pause from about mid-late April going into a week or so ago. But I do think on a 6-12 month horizon, markets will be higher.
So, I mean, a lot of this conversation that we're having at the moment centers around reopening and whether or not it's all going to be sustainable. We've had these comments, obviously, from, you know, we've had comments from Jerome Powell in the 60 Minutes show over the weekend, for example. Everything still seems very uncertain and volatile. So how do these markets keep on climbing?
That's true. I mean, things do seem very uncertain and volatile. I'm sitting here in Australia, and on the one hand, we are opening up again, but on the other hand, there's a lot of uncertainty about how many jobs will come back, whether there'll be second waves, when state travel will come back, when international travel will come back. So those uncertainties are there, but I guess share markets, to their credit, factored this in a couple of months ago with that huge fall we saw going from around about the 20th of February going to about the 23rd of March. So that sort of got factored in. And so share markets are sort of saying, yeah, well, we know it's going to be slow, but as long as there is a reopening and we don't have a double dip and interest rates are low and there's all the stimulus being pumped in, then it's sort of okay. And that's, I think, what share markets are telling us. Whereas the bond markets, they're focused on something else different altogether. They're focused on the fact that economic activity is still weak, that unemployment is still high and probably going to go higher, and that interest rates are going to stay low for a very long time. That's why the bond market seems to be telling us a different story to the equity market.
We're speaking with Shane Oliver, Chief Economist and Head of Investment Strategy at AMP Capital. Here's the big one, Shane. What is your take on the Fed's April minutes that were released overnight?
Well, I guess at a higher level, they didn't tell us anything new. They told us that the Fed was a bit cautious in terms of the economic outlook, so there's lots of downside risks. Certainly doesn't see a deep V recovery. Jerome Powell told us this a few times. It probably needs to be more fiscal stimulus. But what the Fed did also seemed to indicate, though, was that it is thinking about what it might do next. There wasn't any discussion of negative interest rates, not that I could see, so that doesn't seem to be on their agenda. But they were talking about more enhanced forward guidance. In other words, where they commit to leaving interest rates at a particular level for a particular period of time, or also I think that there seems to be more of an angling towards returning to a fixed amount of quantitative easing on a monthly basis. So that's, I think, the things to look forward to, where the Fed goes from here. Obviously, it will fine-tune some of its lending programs, but the main focus, the big thing to watch, will be when the Fed comes out and says, well, we're going to keep interest rates and monetary policy ultra-easy until we get to a certain point in the economy, probably until the economy is well advanced in recovery. So that, to me, remains the main focus going forward.
Shane, speaking of big things to watch, let's look ahead to tomorrow's China NPC meeting. What are we expecting in terms of China reporting a GDP growth rate?
I think they will come up with a growth rate. To not come up with one would seem like a bit of a cop-out and would, I think, send a very bad signal. You know, financial markets would immediately conclude that they're not too concerned, that there's not going to be much stimulus coming forward. The debate, though, then is, well, what will that target be? Normally it's around 6%. That's what you would have normally said. To get 6% this year is going to be very hard because the economy went backwards 10% in the March quarter. And so far, through the June quarter, it seems to be recovering, but I don't think it's fully recovered all the losses it saw in the June quarter. So to get to a 6% number would mean a really, really strong rebounding growth in the second half, and that seems unlikely. I suspect that they go for something like 2 or 3%, and then probably increase, and then probably signal, well, next year we're going to go for something stronger again, not 6, maybe 8. For 2021. So I suspect that's the way they will go. They'll come up with something like 2 or 3%, which does mean pretty decent growth from here to the end of the year, and then shift the focus to next year.
Shane, the story is a couple of days old, but you are based in Australia. I'm quite interested to get your take on the trade escalation between Australia and China with regard to barley. I mean, are Australian commodities exposed if tensions were to persist? And, you know, with regard to this barley situation, it's going to affect the beer production, huh?
It will, and it'll affect beer production in China as well. So some Chinese may not like that, but that's the nature of trade spats. Australia and China have had occasional spats over the years. Last year, I recall that some ports in China had banned the unloading of Australian coal for a little while there. So these issues do crop up every so often. Obviously, in Australia, there's some speculation that maybe it's linked to the Chinese not being very happy with Australia calling for an independent inquiry into the origins of coronavirus. Well, the World Health Organization seems to have adopted that idea anyway, and I think China ultimately seemed to back it. But on the Chinese side, they do have some gripes with Australia. Australia does put some tariffs on some imports from China, including steel pipes, which I think are tariffed at the rate of 144% on the grounds that they're dumping. So the Chinese accused Australia of dumping barley in China. Australia has occasionally accused China of dumping as well. A lot of debate as to whether either of those claims are justified, and therefore it is, I think it's fair to acknowledge that China does have some gripes here. I think at the end of the day, common sense will prevail, or economic common sense will prevail, and the two countries will continue with a close trading relationship, though. And I also think it's worth putting the thing in context. Australia's barley exports to China, and I'm not trying to dismiss the concerns of barley farmers in Australia, because I think they are significantly affected, but Australian barley exports to China amount to 5 days' worth of iron ore exports to China in terms of their value. So in the great scheme of things, it's not a huge impact to the trade relationship between the two countries. It's more psychological than real, and the reality is that China is trying to stimulate their economy. That means ongoing demand for iron ore, and the iron ore price is about, I think last night, $96 a tonne, which is actually quite strong. So if you're an Australian miner, you're probably feeling pretty happy at the moment.
All right. Thank you for putting that in context. We've been speaking with Shane Oliver, Chief Economist and Head of Investment Strategy at AMP Capital. Shane, thanks for taking the time. You take care and stay safe.
My pleasure. You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.